into yet another conversation. Then Vin spun and walked quickly back to Slow Swift, trying to look as if she'd just remembered something. Her tails, intent on looking natural, had trouble following. They hesitated, and Vin gained just a few short breaths of freedom. She leaned down to Slow Swift as she passed.
"I need two men," she said. "Ones you trust against Yeoman. Have them meet me in a part of the party that is more secluded, a place where people can sit and chat."
"The patio," Slow Swift said. "Down the left corridor, then outside."
"Good," Vin said. "Tell your men to go there, but then wait until I approach them. Also, please send a messenger to Elland. Tell him I need another half hour."
Slow Swift nodded to the cryptic comment, and Vin smiled as her shadows trailed closer.
"I hope you feel better soon," she said, putting on a fond smile.
"Thank you, my dear," Slow Swift said, coughing slightly.
Vin trailed away again. She slowly made her way in the direction Slow Swift had indicated, the exit she'd picked out earlier. Sure enough, a few moments later, she passed into mist.
"The mist vanishes inside buildings eventually," Vin thought. "Everyone always assumes it has something to do with heat, or perhaps the lack of airflow."
In a few seconds, she found herself standing on a lantern-lit garden patio. Though tables had been set up for people to relax, the patio was sparsely populated. Servants wouldn't go out in the mists, and most nobility, though they didn't like to admit it, found the mists disconcerting. Vin wandered over to an ornate metal railing, then leaned against it, looking up at the sky, feeling the mists around her and idly fingering her earring. Soon her two shadows appeared, chatting quietly, and Vin's tin let her hear that they were talking about how stuffy the other room had been. Vin smiled, maintaining her posture as the two women took chairs a distance away, continuing to chat. After that, two young men wandered in and sat down at another table. They weren't as natural about the process as the women, but Vin hoped they weren't suspicious enough to draw attention. Then she waited. Life as a thief, a life spent preparing for jobs, watching in spy holes, and carefully choosing just the right opportunity to pick a pocket, had taught her patience. It was one urchin attribute she had never lost. She stood, staring at the sky, giving no indication at all that she intended to leave. Now she simply had to wait for the distraction.
"You shouldn't have relied on him for the distraction," Rean whispered in her mind. "He'll fail. Never let your life depend on the competence of someone whose life isn't also on the line."
It had been one of Rean's favorite sayings. She didn't think of him very often anymore, or really anyone from her old life. That life had been one of pain and sorrow. A brother who beat her to keep her safe, a crazy mother who had inexplicably slaughtered Vin's baby sister. However, that life was only a faint echo now. She smiled to herself, amused at how far she had come. Rean might have called her a fool, but she trusted Elland, trusted him to succeed, trusted him with her life. That was something she could never have done during her early years. After about 10 minutes, someone came out from the party and wandered over to the pair of women. He spoke with them just briefly, then returned to the party. Another man came 20 minutes after that, doing the same thing. Hopefully, the women were passing on the information Vin wished. That Vin had apparently decided to spend an indeterminate amount of time outside, staring at the mists. Those inside wouldn't expect her to return any time soon. A few moments after the second messenger returned to the party, a man rushed out and approached one of the tables.
"You have to come hear this," he whispered to the people at the table,
the only ones currently on the patio who had nothing to do with Vin. That group left. Vin smiled. Ellen's distraction had come. Vin jumped into the air, then pushed against the railing beside her, launching herself across the patio. The women had obviously grown bored, chatting idly to themselves. It took them a few moments to notice Vin's movement. In those moments, Vin shot across the now empty patio, dress flapping as she flew. One of the women opened her mouth to yell. Vin extinguished her metals, then burned duralumin and brass. pushing on the emotions of both women. She'd done this only once before, to Straff Venture. A Duralumin-fueled brass push was a terrible thing. It flattened a person's emotions, making them feel empty, completely void of all feeling. Both women gasped, and the one who had been standing stumbled to the ground instead, falling silent. Vin landed hard, her pewter still off lest she mix it with Duralumin. She put her pewter back on immediately, however, rolling up to her feet. She took one of the women with an elbow in the stomach, then grabbed her face and smashed it down into the table, knocking her out. The other woman sat dazedly on the ground. Vin grimaced, then grabbed the woman by the throat, choking her. It felt brutal, but Vin didn't let up until the woman fell unconscious, proven by the fact that she let her allomantic copper cloud fall. Vin sighed, releasing the woman. The unconscious spy slumped to the floor. Vin turned. Slowswift's young men stood by anxiously. Vin waved them over.
"Stash these two in the bushes," Vin said quickly. "Then sit at the table. If anyone asks after them, say that you saw them follow me back into the party. Hopefully that will keep everyone confused."
The men flushed.
"We do as I say or flee," Vin snapped. "Don't argue with me. I left them both alive, and I can't afford to let them report that I've escaped their watch. If they stir, you'll have to knock them out again."
The men nodded reluctantly. Vin reached up and unbuttoned her dress, letting the garment fall to the ground and revealing the sleek, dark clothing she wore underneath. She gave the dress to the men to hide as well, then moved into the building, away from the party. Inside the misty corridor, she found a stairwell and slipped down it. Ellen's distraction would be in full progress by now. Hopefully, it would last long enough.
"That's right," Ellen said, arms folded, staring down Yeoman. "A duel. Why make the armies fight for the city? You and I could settle this ourselves."
Yeoman didn't laugh at the ridiculous idea. He simply sat at his table, his thoughtful eyes set in a bald, tattooed head, the single bead of atium tied to his forehead sparkling in the lantern light. The rest of the crowd was reacting just as Ellen had expected. Conversations had died, and people had rushed in, packing into the main ballroom to watch the confrontation between Emperor and King.
"Why do you think I would consent to such a thing?" Yeoman finally asked.
"All accounts say you are a man of honor."
"But you are not," Yeoman said, pointing at Elland. "This very offer proves that. You are an Allomancer. There would be no contest between us. What honor would there be in that?"